Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Young Hefe, homes. These niggas so scary, won't let them bury me. That's why I keep my 30, I shoot like Curry. And boy, I'm getting money, I'm getting money.
Welcome back to Don V Fridays, reporting live from the 757. Your boy has returned. I made it back. I'm officially a Virginian again. What a time to be alive. Griff, how you living, my boy?
I'm doing pretty good. This is my this is actually my last week in my current living situation. So just like you moved, I'm going to be moving soon too. I'm going to be leaving Detroit in a couple weeks. My internship is ending. So I got to figure some stuff up. This is going to be a big month. I got so much shit coming up in August. So we'll see. But yeah, man, I'm glad you're back in Virginia, back in the home state. We're going to get after it. We got a big season coming up.
Hey, man, back in the motherland, the more things change, the more things stay the same. Man, seeing a lot of people I've known from back in the days, man. Some people still ain't on shit. Some people have leveled up. Virginia done changed a lot, especially where I'm at. Virginia done changed a lot. It's casinos and shit now. Like, I grew up in the old Virginia, where Virginia was like a conservative state. It was a red state. You damn sure ain't had no casinos. It legal weed. I'm not a weed smoker at all. I never smoked weed, but people can smoke weed now. It's legal. It's a different place.
We are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
From the Virginia I grew up in, but Spotify Green Room is a live audio only sports talk platform. It's free to download and to use. You can talk to fans, athletes, insiders in real time. Get all the, you can stay posted up on all this Aaron Rodgers drama and all the NFL camp news that's going on, and up to date on who getting cut and injuries. And this room's jumping off 24 hours a day. It's perfect for watch parties, debates, post game breakdowns, reacting to breaking news. It's conversations going on, and you have a chance. You can join in on conversations and have a chance to be featured on some of your team's your favorite team's podcast. It's guys in there recording podcasts too. So make sure you join in on some of these conversations. You might be featured on a team podcast. You know, it's like I said, rooms being hosted every week, 24/7, like I said. All you need to do is download Spotify Green Room app free in the iOS app store. Create a profile, link your Twitter, join leagues, groups. You'll be notified when, you know, certain rooms go live. Like I said, it's Spotify Green Room, iOS App Store. It's been a lot of last week we had covered ACC Media Day and everything, and now we're getting into preseason rankings and all ACC and who's gonna do what and who predictions. And the all ACC team was released. A very interesting list because you got two Hokies on it. One, I think we all expected in James Mitchell, and one that kind of caught me by surprise in Amari Barno. But yep. Some other notable names before we get into the meat of it. Sam Howell at quarterback. I don't think at this point that surprised anybody.
Yeah.
Bam Knight from NC State and Mateo Durant from Duke. Those did honestly surprise me because I really thought you got Cam Harris from Miami at running back. Maybe people thought he got snubbed. I don't think nobody from Tech would have made it, but
there's too many running backs.
I thought Bam Knight is probably deserving of the spot, but Mateo Durant from Duke, I don't know. I probably would have put Cam Harris in that spot. Yeah.
I mean, it looked like they were kind of it looked a little bit closer because this list does bring in the votes, and Durant's only got 49, and that's like I think the second lowest amount of qualifying votes next to Nick Jackson, linebacker from Virginia. So it was
they
probably
were just like, fuck yeah, it.
Exactly.
Who played last year?
People.
That's exactly. All that was. Who played last year? Who got enough stats from last year where we can justify this? Because Justin Ross from Clemson, which is interesting because he was the one that had the neck, not injury, but like he had a procedure where they found something with his neck where he could have not played football ever again.
Yeah.
Something like that. It's good to see he can play again and he is back, but will he recapture that true freshman when he was torching Nick Saban's defense and Bama defense? I think, you know, before this freak neck thing, Justin Ross would have been a no-brainer, him being a number one receiver. Zay Flowers from Boston College is a monster. I don't even think that's up for argument.
Yep.
Ja'Kari Roberson from Wake Forest. I ain't gonna sit up here and argue with this shit.
All those make sense.
It makes sense.
Yeah.
They make sense.
It's not really too much debate at this point. You can make the case for other people during the season, but in terms of preseason, right, I think those wide receivers make sense.
Right. I think so too. Especially like Zay Flowers, it ain't even nothing to talk about when it comes to Zay Flowers. Jahmyr Gibbs, the running back from Georgia Tech, got the all purpose. I think Gibbs honestly should be up here over Mateo Durant.
Yeah,
to be
I was
honest.
Thinking the same thing. I was thinking the same thing. I think it might be more of like Gibbs is gonna do more in different roles, where Durant might be more strictly a running
That's
back.
That's
the type
running
of thing.
Back, but still Gibbs a better running back than him too.
Yeah, no, I agree. I agree.
He should have had him up here twice. I mean, if you want to talk all purpose, I would have made a case. I would make a small case for Raheem Blackshear, but if you put Gibbs at that running back spot and then you put Blackshear at that all purpose spot, you know, I wouldn't have fought nobody over it.
Yeah.
But,
yeah,
offensive line.
Blackshear could definitely sneak in there. If he gets the amount of touches. I mean, I think for him, it's just getting him the ball is the biggest thing. I think we all think he's got the talent. I think the rest of the conference thinks that he has the talent as well. But I think it's just the amount of touches. That's the thing. If he gets a lot of touches, we could end up seeing him somewhere on this list. But it's just a matter of getting him the ball, honestly.
Getting him the damn ball. Boston College is represented on the offensive line on here twice. Boston College is known. Boston College is like a low-key Wisconsin where, like, They don't get four-star, five-star offensive linemen, but it seemed like every year they got a left tackle and they got a center that's like elite, better to go first round, second round. I don't know who their offensive line coach is or was, but it seemed like Boston College always got offensive linemen that can produce at a high level.
That is definitely their niche. They always have mass. They're always huge too, is the other thing. And that's kind of where they always give Virginia Tech trouble, is they always seem to run the ball well against Tech.
Definitely. Definitely. But moving on to defense, where this is the all Clemson team, all Clemson conference when it comes, that's what they mean by all ACC
Clemson
on
represented at
defense.
every single position here.
Clemson is represented, like Drift said, all three levels of the defense. Clemson is represented. Everybody know about Brian Bresee, probably the best interior D lineman in the country. Miles Murphy, James Skalski, Andrew Booth Jr. at corner, Nolan Turner. Everybody know Clemson got the best defense in the conference. I think that go without saying. But for the non-Clemson guys, like we mentioned earlier, Amari Barno, which was a surprise for me. It was honestly a surprise for me.
Yeah, he's been rising up on seems like everybody's board recently. It might just be his like his physical traits, and I guess he did like when he flashed last year, he really flashed. And I guess scouts that are looking at like some of his flash plays and his size compared to the rest of this conference, I think this conference's edge class this year is not going to be that good compared to what it was last year. So I think that's kind of why he's sneaking in there. But it wasn't like he blew everybody out with votes either. I mean, Barna only had 63 votes, which was on the lower end with all these other guys. So, but it is nice to see him up there. I think he could definitely be a first team player.
And Barno is not was Barno is like a hybrid where like he stood up at times, he put his hand in the dirt at times. And I was saying this in live streams, and I might have said it on the podcast once or twice. Barno was producing and had no technique. That shit was all hustle. It was all motor, like all relentlessness, hustle, and motor. Technique was ass. If Barno gets half of some technique, if he gains some technique and some like one or two pass rush moves, I would say he's a second round pick. He's Barno right now with no technique is probably a fourth, fifth round pick, just off size, motor, all that. If he gets one or two moves, he might make him some real money as a second or third round pick.
No, I completely agree. And you know, the thing is that might even push him up the board is he's like he might even come out to the draft if he has a really good year. And I know people are gonna be pissed when I say this, but if he has a really good year and he goes into the draft, he might be looked at as like a poor man's Kayvon Thibodeaux just because of the size. Like their size, the way they're built is very similar. And I could see Barno being like a second or late first round pick where he's like that 32 edge rusher. There's always like a 30 of edge rusher that gets picked 32. And he might be able to slip up there, but that's saying that like he really refines his pass rushing moves and produces at a higher level. But I think that he can do that. Like he has that upside, which I don't remember the last time a Virginia Tech defensive end had that upside.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of a Virginia Tech DN with big upside. It probably was Chris Ellis, who went to Bethel High School here in Hampton, Virginia. And he went, I want to say Chris Ellis went in like the sixth round to like the Steelers. Might have even been a seventh round. He ended up being a late round pick. But yeah, shout out to Amari Barno. You compared him to Thibodeaux from
And
Oregon.
just in size.
Just in size. I always
Just
look
look at
at
the
him like
measurables.
a Charles Snowden from UVA. Like he gives me Charles Snowden vibes, but he's not big. He's not like the biggest DN, but like his length and his wingspan kind of gives off kind of gives off Charles Snowden vibes, who
But I think where he gets Charles Snowden is like the speed and the quickness. I think that's kind of what separates him. I mean, like Barno's fast as hell. Like he can play in space.
He
So,
ran down Trevor Lawrence. Like
yeah.
Trevor Lawrence had ran, had he had broke contain. Trevor Lawrence had got outside the pocket and Barno ran his ass down and tackled him for a loss. So
Yeah. I mean, you also have to remember too, the reason I'm saying that he could go so high is because, like, right now in the NFL, these type of hybrid defensive ends are valued so heavily. Like, can they play in space? Can they drop in coverage? Can they rush the passer? Can they play against the run? Like, do they have the size that's required? Are they fast
man.
enough? Like, he checks all those boxes. And, like, that's why I think he could be, like, one of these guys now. Like, if he was playing 15 years ago, he wouldn't have the hype around him that he has right now. I think it's just the way that the NFL is going just fits his mold.
Yeah. Now the question us as Hokie fans about Barno is, can he set the edge in the run game? Because if I'm an opposing offensive coordinator, I'm running his way. I'm running his way all day. Until he proves he can stop the run. But I don't want to say I had an issue, but if I could take somebody off the defensive side, Tyler Davis at interior D lineman, I'm putting Nesta Silvera from Miami in at that second interior D lineman spot. I think Nesta is a monster. I think Nesta is a monster. When we played against Miami last year, and I know Jalen Phillips killed us, but Nesta killed us too on the interior. I would that's that might be my only big issue. Not it ain't even a big issue because Davis can play too, but I
I feel
probably would
that.
have put Nesta in there.
Yeah, I think Miami's kind of had a couple snubs on this list, honestly, out of all the teams. Seems like Miami's kind of the one getting snubbed.
Yeah, they
And
got Bubba Bolden
I'm
on
not the
there.
one to stand up and like defend Miami, but
Right.
that's what I would say, honestly, just looking at the players.
Right. Bubba Bolden is definitely deserving of that safety spot. You never know. The thing about Miami is you never know. Miami got the potential every year to win 11 games or win six. With the same roster, like it always be dependent on other factors, coaching,
Culture.
the mood in the room, who's quarterbacking. It's always weird over there. But Miami does have two on this list, Bubba Bolden and their punter, Lou Headley, who looked like a fucking like he runs the Aryan Brotherhood in the prison in San Quentin or some shit. But he's Australian. I don't think he's a white supremacist stuff. I want nobody to come fuck me up over that. Bro, you listen, let me tell you something. As a black person, if you say a white person is racist, looks racist, all that shit, you better prove it. They will be on your ass, my boy. Better believe that. What do you mean he looks like an Aryan? All this dumb shit, dog. I don't want no smoke. I want no smoke, Miami fans. It's a joke. Notable on this list, there's no Florida State Seminoles. What's your thoughts on that?
I think people are just not sold. I don't think the media is sold on Florida State yet. I think Florida State has like the recruiting hype around them right now. But I don't think after what we've seen from Taggart and other G5 coaches, Puente, going to ACC programs, I don't think the media is going to be sold on Florida State right now. But I do think Florida State has a lot of talent incoming, and I think they might have a player or two sneak on this list, but I don't think it's likely. I think next year, though, is when they could be good. I think Florida State, though, is I think Florida State being good is really good for the ACC. I think the ACC needs Florida State to be good. And we can talk about that more when we get to the conference realignment, but
The ACC definitely needs Florida State to be flourishing,
yes.
but the only Florida State player who could possibly make an ACC all ACC team in the postseason when it's over with is the quarterback Mackenzie Milton, and he hasn't played at elite level since when 2017
Yeah,
when
it's been a
UCF won
while.
that. When UCF
been a
won that
while.
national championship that they claim,
Right.
when healthy and pre-injury, Mackenzie Milton was one of the best quarterbacks in the nation. So,
yeah.
is if he washed, ain't nothing to talk about. But if he can regain some of that, then he could probably be all ACC honorable mention or third team behind, obviously, Sam Howell, DJ Uiagalelei. And that third spot, well, yeah, in the Eric King, but he might get the honorable mention spot. Mackenzie Milton might get that honorable mention.
Yeah, I think Florida State's interesting this year. I don't know what they're gonna do. I don't know. I mean,
they're gonna be trash this year.
Yeah, they might be trash.
But they're gonna be trash. They're coming off a season where they won like two games.
Yeah, no,
they're
gonna
be trash. But I think individually, Mackenzie might put up enough numbers to get some All-ACC looks at the end of the season.
Right. We could the other thing about this list, too, is Tony Grimes being on there instead of Jermaine Waller. How do you feel about that? Because we've been seeing we'll talk about this in a little bit, too, as well. But, like, it seems like a lot of the media is, like, super high on Tech players, specifically Jermaine Waller. We keep seeing him as, like, ranked as the best corner in the ACC. So do you think it's odd that they have Tony Grimes on here instead of Jermaine Waller?
I want to say, because logic never holds up. So somebody in the ACC would say Jermaine Waller didn't play a lot last year, so that's why he didn't make the list. But I'm drawing a blank. The receiver from Justin Ross, he didn't play at all last year.
He's got the most votes on the
he gets the most
offense.
Votes. So
yeah.
Who knows why it's not Jermaine Waller and why it is Tony Grimes? Because Tony Grimes did play sparingly last year, but he was 17 years old. This
right.
is technically supposed to be his true freshman season coming up. He's going to be an 18-year-old sophomore, which is crazy. But I think with Tony Grimes, they're just projecting and they're not going off of what he's done on the field already. If you're going to go off of what somebody's done on the field already, then it probably is Jermaine Waller right now. But Tony Grimes might go on to be the better player in the future, if that makes
right.
any sense.
Yeah. I think he's definitely got more upside. But what I don't know. What strikes me is usually these ACC preseason lists that are, you know, like the voted on ones, the reputable ones, they usually err more towards the side of like production and like the best players at the time, not really like projecting who's going to like be elite down the road. So that's why I was a little taken back, because I thought it would be more of like, okay, Waller's played and he's been good when he's played, so we'll just put him on there. But Tony Grimes also doesn't even have that many votes either. So maybe it was close. I don't really know, but I do think Grimes has a higher upside and he might end up being a better player this year too.
Yeah, I think the voters just like will be proven right in time.
Mm-hmm.
That they just going off of that.
Right.
But Jermaine Waller, like you said, is getting love from the Eric McLean's of the world. I think David Hale showed him some love as well. And for preseason player of the year, they got Sam Howell. I don't think that surprised anybody.
No.
I'm going to say this about Sam Howell and UNC. UNC has the best quarterback in the conference. If UNC wins 9 games, like if all this just ends up with them winning 9 games, I don't want to hear shit about UNC no more. Because
I think that's entirely possible.
I remember UNC. Remember UNC from like a decade ago with Butch Davis?
Mm-hmm.
And they had all these first round picks, DNs, linebackers, Quentin Cobles. I'm drawing a blank, but they had so many. They had first round talent all over the field. Marvin Austin was one of the best interior linemen in the country.
Yeah, Giovanni
should have been a first round. He went there yet. He wasn't there yet. I'm talking about like 08, 09 UNC. Marvin Austin, Quentin Copels, and they had another pass rusher that went like third. Robert Quinn, a linebacker. They had Bruce Carter, who played in the NFL. Just NFL talent everywhere. They had Hakeem Nicks. They had Brandon Tate. Just NFL player, Greg Little. Everywhere you went, NFL players. They had TJ Yates at quarterback. They could never win more than eight games. All that NFL talent. All of them played in the NFL, and they can only win eight games a year. Like, I think they ran off like three straight eight win seasons.
Right. I could
And
see them.
they kind of bottomed out like after that. Butch Davis, they got in some trouble because Marvin Austin was tweeting in Miami about bottles and bitches and all this other shit, and it kind of fell apart. And that's what led to Larry Fedora getting the job and all that. But I say all that to say, UNC got to put something together this year. The first year they were supposed to be sorry, it was the first year. Last year they go to the Orange Bowl and lose. This year they got to show something. They might not be better than Clemson, but they got to prove that they are without a doubt the unequivocal second best team in the conference, which means they can't lose to no UVA. They can't lose. They lost to Florida State last year, a Florida State team that won like two or three games. One of those was UNC.
Yep.
So what I'm saying is, UNC, you are on the clock because the future of UNC football is on Sam Howell's shoulders. Because if he only gets them eight, nine wins, even if he gets them 10, but it's like you got some shitty losses in there.
Yep.
Going forward, nobody's gonna take UNC serious. Like they got the juice right now, as far as in the coastal. UNC got the juice. A lot of Hokie fans are like looking up to UNC, like we hope we can beat them. Like we kind of copping out as little brother to them over the last couple of months. So, what's your
Right.
take on Sam Howell, preseason ACC Player of the Year, and UNC in general? You don't got a preview on, but just like your current thoughts on them.
Okay, my initial take is that like I'm still not sold on UNC, and the reason I'm not is because they had this like great second year last year, like you mentioned, and they had all of these talented players, all of these NFL caliber players as weapons on offense. All those players are now gone, and now it's their year to like now we got to prove something, but we're also without four playmakers that led our offense last year, and they still have Sam Howell. Yeah, that's great, but they still lost four players. Like anytime you lose four players that contributed that much to your team, it does hurt in some way. And that's not to say that they're not going to win a lot of games this year, but they do play Notre Dame, who's going to be good, and they also play Miami. And Miami, like, we don't know what we're going to see with Miami. Like, Miami has the talent to play with UNC. They might beat UNC. You never know. They play Florida State again this year. They lost Florida State last year. So what happens there? Like, if UNC goes through the schedule and drops a game to Notre Dame and maybe somebody else, maybe that's Miami, maybe that's somebody else, maybe even and all of, and if this happens, they're really fucked. If they fuck up losing, if they fuck up the Tech game to start the year, that's gonna
Oh
set
yeah.
them back.
Oh
So,
yeah.
and like
They lose to
we've
us.
talked
They about
about
to cancel
they lose,
Christmas.
yeah, right. And that's a scary thing to have, is like to open against Tech. So I don't think that North Carolina's there yet. I think their window is kind of up in the air. I'm not gonna say it's closing. But I don't think they're really going to be able to do anything this year. I think they're going to be able to win games, but I don't think they're going to be able to do anything special. And on the off chance that Miami has a really good year and De'Arik King goes off, he has a chance to even be the player of the year as well. Like, I don't think it's Sam Howell's for the taking. I don't think he just walks away with it without anybody putting up a fight. So I think,
Yeah, it could easily be
yeah,
DJ Uiagalelei,
exactly.
especially if Clemson is back in the playoff picture and
Right. And
all of that stuff.
Clemson will be back in the playoff picture. We just went through the preseason list, and they have players at every single position. They just reloaded, and they're gonna be a top team. And I think they're still a better team than North Carolina. So, Yeah, it's kind of like it's kind of like an identity crisis era for North Carolina right now. And if they can't do anything special this year, Sam Howell's going to leave, and you better hope that the next quarterback is just as good, or else they're going to start taking a step back.
They're going to be. I don't think they'll take a step back. They're just going to stay where they are. The best team in the Coastal, but never got past that. I think with Mac Brown, let's say they do fuck around. They fuck off and they lose 3 or 4 games and they win eight wins or something like that. That what I'm saying is I don't think they will progress to Clemson level monster. I think they just stay the biggest bully in the Coastal. Now, they don't give out trophies for that. You don't get invited to the playoffs for that. They always be more talented than us and better than us, but I think they have an opportunity to make a leap and get into that Clemson air if they win 11 games this year. They would have to win. I say they need to win 11, maybe even 12 games. Even if they lose to Clemson in the title game and it's competitive and they look like they belong, they can continue to build on that. But they going they're going to that Clemson game, that ACC championship game, with a loss to a Pitt or some bum school. They got a slip up here and a slip up there, and they lose to Notre Dame. Then it's like, okay, y'all are the biggest, y'all the tallest midget. You know, kudos, but nobody's gonna take them serious as far as on the mainstream.
Exactly. And you know, if you go back to that list that we went through before, if I'm not mistaken, there's only 2 North Carolina players, same amount as Virginia Tech, projected to be all ACC team. So it's not like they're crazy loaded either. I mean, they have Sam Howell. And that's like, okay, we have Sam Howell. Great, good stuff. But that's not like you're not a giant like Clemson.
Yeah. They got Storm Duck coming back too. And he honestly could have got that second. He could have got the spot over Tony Grimes, honestly. But, you know, I don't know. Who knows?
Yeah, no.
They got talent coming back. They did lose 4 playmakers, but they were all Fedora recruits.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like maybe this shit they got coming down the line is better than the Fedora shit. Or maybe Mac Brown just an old ass Fuente that just coasted off somebody else's shit. Who knows?
Yeah. You never that's know. Why they, you never
that's
know.
Why the games gotta get played.
Yeah.
Any recruiting news and notes that we need to be aware of?
Yeah, so for everybody listening, if you've listened recently, we've been talking about the next steps for Virginia Tech's recruiting class. And one of the things that we outlined was Cam Miller, the cornerback. He's a 4-star, and he was between Tech and Penn State, and he just committed to Penn State last week. We had mentioned that the class was on the way down, was slowing down, and that these final recruits, the Givens and the Ramon Brown, that these were kind of the last sort of big name guys that we were going to see. Besides the 2 Cams, and this being one of them is now at Penn State. So that leaves one more big target recruit, and that's Cam Johnson, if I believe, from St. Francis Academy. So there was some stuff online about Cam Miller allegedly saying that he didn't like the staff from Virginia Tech, that they were talking behind each other's back, but that was something off of like a Snapchat. So I don't know how reputable that actually is, but this was kind of the one that there's been a ton of momentum in the class. I'm at fault too in some sort of way, but I have been praising Ryan Smith, and this is a Ryan Smith target being that he's a cornerback, and they did miss on him. So this is, I think, one of the bigger misses on the class. That's kind of all that it is. We'll see how the Cam Johnson recruitment cycle goes when he ends up committing. It's been kind of quiet on his end, but I know Tech is still in the mix for that.
Yeah, losing out on Cam Miller, definitely a position of need at corner.
Yeah.
I don't know what James Franklin is selling, but
he's
been
selling.
In our ass this cycle. Shit, in the next cycle too, they already got top Virginia.
Yeah.
Top yep. Virginia kids. Not Cam Miller isn't a Virginia kid, but he got top Commonwealth talent committed to Penn State for the 2023 class already.
Yeah, Penn State has been stealing kids away from Tech for some time now, and it's kind of weird too because Penn State is not a powerhouse. Like, they're a powerhouse to us in relation to Tech, but they're not like knocking down the playoff walls or anything. Like, they are very clearly in the national media's eyes like the third best team in the Big Ten, and it's like, how do they just keep pulling the shit out of their ass every year? I don't know what he's selling over there, but it is frustrating seeing so many recruits just like, oh, we're between Tech and Penn State, maybe a couple others, and then they just go to Penn State. And honestly, that's what I thought Ramon Brown was going to do too. I mean, before we had heard that they got another running back, I thought Ramon Brown was going to go to Penn State.
Yeah. Yeah, the thing about Penn State is they're not Ohio State level, but they're like the tier under that. So that's still good enough for 11 win seasons. That's still good enough to put guys in the first, second, third round, which is honestly the one thing that's most important to a lot of these recruits. So,
right.
And James Franklin is a recruiter. I don't like when non-Penn State fans try to say James Franklin is only a recruiter to try to, you know, downplay his coaching, because James Franklin was winning 8 games at Vanderbilt. Like, he didn't get that Penn State job on accident. You know, I don't know what his race is. I know he's a man of color. I don't be quick to call anybody not white, black. That ain't how I get down, because I'm black. So I don't just call every beige nigga black. He might be Arabian or some shit. I don't know. But men of color don't just get the Penn State job because they know people. You had to show you can coach somewhere to get that type of job. Because trust and believe you me, he ain't about to get no more seasons like he had last year. And mind you, we talking about a James Franklin that's won 11 games, been to the Rose Bowl, won a Fiesta Bowl, like Penn State popping, you know, recruiting, they jumping out the gym recruit. He ain't got a whole bunch of Fuente years in him where we going to give you one more year. Nah.
Mm-hmm.
His ass out of there. His seat probably hotter than Fuente's, and he then did a whole lot more success. So,
yeah.
Shout out to James Franklin.
It is a much bigger program, and I understand why we lose recruits to them, but it is just kind of – it's just frustrating how many we lose to them, I guess, is the thing.
Oh, yeah, James Franklin be in our – he be at our top. Mm-hmm. He be at our top, at our next. That's why the Gunnar Givens thing with people saying Penn State didn't even look at him as a take. We still got to just say, fuck it. We got what? Over them. Like,
yeah, that's, man, how bad that's how I feel. That's how I feel. Like, I'm like, I don't give a fuck if they didn't want him, bro. At least they didn't fucking get him. Like,
they could have took him just to be spiteful. Like, you know.
Yeah, they could have just taken him. They could have just taken. And the thing is there's not even like a rivalry. Like, we never even play Penn State. You know what I mean? So we were supposed to.
Right. You were supposed to.
We were supposed to, but we never did. So it's not like they steal recruits and then we see the recruits later. They just steal them and then they're fucking gone. Like, it's kind of annoying.
At night, Keandre Lambert is supposed to get burned for Penn State this year. You got Devin Ford.
Yeah.
The list goes on and on.
Ricky Slade was there. I mean, obviously, he left, but yeah, Ricky Slade was a big one. I remember when he committed and. Yeah, that was man, not good.
It'd be all up in Virginia. Trace McSorley, he was from Virginia. He was definitely from Virginia. I think the story goes Tech wanted Trace McSorley as a DB or some crazy shit.
That is some Tech shit to do.
They also, Christian Hackenberg He's from Pennsylvania, but went to high school in Virginia or some shit with the prep school in Virginia. So they've been up in his Commonwealth. They've been up in his Commonwealth life more
And they got
so than
the,
us.
they just got the number one kid from Virginia for next year as well, for the
Yeah,
2030 cycle.
that's what I was saying.
Yeah. So, oh man,
They in the mix. They in the mix. They
All we
all
can
up in the
do,
mix.
is hope and pray that they don't keep ascending, because it's gonna get worse if they keep
Be
going up.
over with. It's gonna be
Yeah.
over with. Between Clemson attacking us from the south and Penn State attacking us from the north,
Oh man.
we gonna be back in Texas trying to scrape shit together again.
Yep. Yeah,
But
bad
let's
news.
move on. Let's move on.
This is all we got for today's show. We actually lost the second half of the episode, and because of kind of our schedules, I was really busy this week. I'm actually moving out right now, and Vito has been getting settled back in Virginia, so we couldn't find another time, and so this is all we have for you guys. The second half of this show, we talked about conference realignment, West Virginia and the ACC and why that doesn't make sense, Texas, Oklahoma, obviously, and the rest of the Big 12. You can always catch all of our stuff on Twitter. We talk about everything on there. You can follow me at DriftVT, and for Vito, you can follow him at DonV757. We got some big stuff coming up for you guys next week. We're going to be moving recording platforms. So hopefully the quality will be better for you guys. But as always, God bless, and we'll see you guys next week.